It's a wonderful story that Jesus tells about a king who is throwing a wedding banquet for his son. And so he calls and he sends invitations out to the people of the land, those he had selected to come, those who were of the aristocracy of the land, those who needed to come to the king's son's wedding feast. And unfortunately, they didn't want to come. They had too much going on. They had too much to do. They had too many games to go to, and too much to do at work, and too much to do in the social life. They had to go to Walmart and go shopping after all. They had to go to the ballpark for the game. They had to go to the fair. They had to go see the Cowboys play. Whoops. They were busy. Busy, busy, busy. So the king sends out more messengers to announce this wedding feast. And they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the king's slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." And those servants went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Those who had been invited proved by their unwillingness to come that they had no business going to a wedding feast. And so he ordered them killed. Now, I could say here that the moral of the story is, when the king sends an invitation to a wedding feast, go! And certainly don't kill the mailman. But it's not as simple as that. He then sends out his servants. Instead of sending them out to the special people, he sent them out to everybody. Go out into the streets and gather whoever you find, good and bad. Gather whoever you find and invite them to the wedding banquet. And so the wedding hall, the banquet hall, was filled with people. Good and bad. Those who deserved to go and those who didn't. He called them all. But then the king comes in and he sees someone seated at the table who isn't wearing a wedding robe. He's not dressed for the festive occasion. He's not dressed to party. He's not dressed for the time that they were going to have. It said black tie, and he came in jeans and a t-shirt. It said Sunday go to meeting clothes, and he came in shorts and a tube top. It said come in festive party clothes, and he came in dirty paint-covered overalls. He didn't come ready to party. He didn't come dressed in a wedding robe. He came in what he had. And because he didn't prepare himself to go to a wedding feast, the king said, "Bind him hand and foot and toss him out into the outer darkness, where there will be much wailing and gnashing of teeth." I'll never forget an early sermon that I wrote when I was in seminary. And I'm sitting there typing away, and early spell checks were not all that great, you know. And when you misspelled a word, it wouldn't underline it. And if you got a word out of context, even if it was spelled right, unfortunately, it wouldn't tell you that either. Nowadays they do. And I had typed this sermon up, and I'd run the spell check, and everything was fine, and everything was good. You know, it's 1990. So I got this sermon ready, and I turned it in, and I got it back, and I got a good grade on it. And as I was looking through it, however, I noticed that when it came to that part in the sermon where I said, "There will be much wailing and gnashing of teeth," I had spelt whale like the one that swims through the water. He said, "Whaling? With harpoons?" I'm sorry, that'll get you sometime around lunch. Where there will be wailing, crying, and gnashing of teeth. My friends, many are called, but few are chosen. This passage has always troubled me. Many are called, but few are chosen. We saw that those who were first called rejected the call. Those who were first called rejected the call to come to the wedding feast. And so they were killed. They were done away with. Those then who were called, good and bad, came in. And one who came in called, but not dressed in a wedding robe, was bound and tossed into the outer darkness. This has bothered me. What does it mean when it says, many are called, but few are chosen? That word chosen, I find interesting. In English, it doesn't work very well. In the original language in Greek, it works great. Take a look at your slip of paper. Your Reverend Neal's sermon notes for Sunday, October the 9th, 2005. The word chosen in Greek is eklektos. Eklektos. You see it written there in Greek, then you see it in English letters. It's derived from the Greek root word lego, meaning to say, to speak, to count, or to gather, and from the prefix ek, meaning out or from or out of. Hence, eklego. To call out or to outcall someone or something. Eklego, to call out. When I was a kid, yes, I'm big. When I was a kid, I was a little porker too. And I hated recess in the division time. When we would gather there and the coach would choose two team captains. I was never a team captain. And then the team captains would go, I pick you. And the other one would go, I pick you. Let's pick Billy. Billy's fast. Okay. Let's pick Susan. Susan can block really good. Let's pick Gene. He's a good anchor. Let's pick Dina. Dina knows how to get around things. Let's pick Peggy. Peggy will scare him away. Can I get another amen? Amen. Amen for you, Peggy. And the picking would go, and they would go, and it would go, and it would go, and finally, there was always two people left. There was the little sickly asthmatic boy, real thin, kind of slow, but little. And there was me. Matthew Tomich, short, thin, and asthmatic, and wasn't entirely there all the time. And then there was me. And I'm going, please God, don't let me be last. Please God, don't let me be last. And sure enough, I was last. Chosen by default. Didn't you hate that? Hate those. Thank you. Amen. Chosen by default. The last one. I pick you. Or, well, I guess we have to have him. Never, ever failed. Choosing. Sometimes that's how we think of God choosing people. I pick you, I pick you, I pick you, but I don't pick you, and I don't pick you, and I certainly don't pick you. That's easy to do that with a choir. You know, that's how we think of God choosing. But that's not what it says here. Firstly, it says God called everybody, good and bad. God called all the people. He said, the king, God, sent the servants out and said, call. Call everybody in the street you find and bring them in. Many are called, good and bad. Many are called, but then few are chosen. Many are called, few are outcalled. Many are called, few are called out. Many are called. That's how it works in Greek, by the way. Think of the word to stand. And then think of the term outstanding. And you get the idea. Many stand, but few are outstanding. That's the essence of the word here. Many are called, but few are outcalled. Many are called, but few are wearing their robes. Many are called, but few are prepared. Many are called, but few are ready. That's the essential meaning here. Not, I pick you and I pick you and I pick you, but I don't pick you and I don't pick you and I don't pick you. Nuh-uh, no. Many are called, but only those with the wedding robes on. Say that three times fast. Only those with the wedding robes on are chosen. And that wedding robe, in the symbol of the story here, stands for being ready, stands for being prepared, stands for being understanding who you are, why you are here, and what you're supposed to be doing. Many are called, and some of them, unfortunately many of them, just show up. They don't know why they're there. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They just show up. Few are called out. Few are chosen. Few are truly members of the church. The word, in English, you may have heard the word ecclesiastical or ecclesial. Anything to do with preachers or church is ecclesiastical. It comes from the word in Greek and the word in Latin, ecclesia. Latin for church, Greek ecclesia for church. Same roots present in both languages stand behind the English word ecclesiastical. Church stuff. Churchy stuff. When we come here and we worship and we do the doxology and we do the Gloria Patri, the Gloria Patri is an ecclesiastical song. It's not something you hear someone singing as they're walking down the road, usually. It's not something you're going to hear on a popular radio station, except maybe KLTY. No, it's something churchy. It's ecclesiastical. It is stuff pertaining to those who are called out from those who have been called. Church members, ecclesia, literally means out-called ones. And that is what we are. We are called to be out-called ones. People called out of this world, out of these streets, out of the homes in this community, out of the workplaces in this society, out of this world and into the house of God. And then from here to proclaim that message to that world from which we originally came. We are called to be called out for Jesus Christ. Are you called out for Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you wearing a wedding robe? I don't care what you're wearing physically today. You can be in a t-shirt and jeans, or a suit and a tie, or a dress. Guys, don't wear the dress, just the women. You can be dressed however you want, physically. But have you come prepared? Do you know why you are here? Do you know whose wedding you're celebrating? Do you know what you are called here to do and be? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the wedding supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you prepared to celebrate for all eternity at God's altar the wonderful gift of thanksgiving, the wonderful gift of His eternal presence? Are you ready? Are you an out-called one? Or are you just here?
Oh, well.
I heard the call and I came and I sat. Oh, well. I don't know why I'm here. Hope it's a buffet. Hope it's Mexican. Hope it's good. Hope it's cheap. Hope they don't charge me too much. Or are you an out-called one, knowing why you're here, whom you are worshiping, and whose you are? Why are you here? Are you here because, well, this is what you do on Sundays? Or are you here to celebrate the wedding supper of the Lamb? Are you here to celebrate the presence of Jesus? We began this year. Can't believe it's been 10 months now. Where is the year gone? We began this year, the first Sunday of the year, the very first day of the year, by standing together and proclaiming, we made it through 2005. Remember that? I encourage us all to stand up and to proclaim, we made it through 2005. We made it, as I prefer to say, through 2005. We made it. Looking forward 364 days, we said back on January the 1st, we made it through 2005. That's a statement of faith, my friends. Here we are, October the 9th. The year is nearly gone. And I dare say, from the perspective today, we've made it. Amen. We're making it. With Jesus taking our hand and leading us on the way in faith, we're making it. Peggy, if I had told you in January that we would have paid 90% of our apportionments in October without breaking a sweat, would you believe me? She's shaking her head. Not for a minute. She shakes her head no. Not for a minute. Neither would I. We of little faith. God has worked and is working a miracle here at First United Methodist Church of Segoville, Texas. Amen. God's working a miracle. God's working a miracle, and He's going to keep working miracles. There are many miracles to see. Miracles emotional, miracles spiritual, miracles physical, miracles expectational and financial, miracles that we cannot comprehend. God has in store for us in the remaining 3 months of 2005 and in the whole year of 2006 ahead. God has miracles for us. Sometimes it can be disappointing. Oh God, why didn't you work a miracle today? I mean, I talked to Mother just a few minutes before service and she said, your dad started to have angina pain late last night. First times in over 7 dialysis treatments. He started to have angina again. Last night, Saturday night. And it frightened him and it hurt. He took his nitroglycerin. I said, be careful, don't let him fall over, he'll blow up. He took his nitroglycerin and he's doing better. But it frightened him. Sometimes I wonder, God, why can't you work a miracle today? And in those moments, I'm not wearing my robe. In those moments, I'm not ready. In those moments of doubt and those moments of non-faith, of apistis, of apisteo, of non-faithing action, in those moments of doubt, when I say, God, why didn't you work a miracle today? In those moments, I deserve to be bound and to cast out where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where are you? How is your faith doing? Are you ready to see some miracles? Are you ready and willing and waiting here at the table of the Lord, at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are you ready to see some miracles of God? We have seen miracles. The last 4 years, we have seen so many miracles. God is just getting started. Are you prepared? Are you an out-called one of God? Has God chosen you to be part of this celebration? God's called all of you. The question is, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be prepared? It was those who weren't prepared that were tossed out. It was those who weren't wearing the wedding robes that were tossed out, that were not chosen. Are you going to be ready? Are you an out-called one of God? Are you ready and willing to see miracles, even when you don't realize them in your immediacy? Are you ready and willing to see miracles of God? If you are, then I encourage you, my friends, to submit your heart to God, to ask Him to clothe you in a wedding robe, a spiritual preparation to see and to celebrate at the feast God has for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2005 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.